All right, Henry, topic two.
Well, you thought topic one was something. Now we're going to get into critical gender theory.
Woo! So...
It feels heavy. Are we really going to do
this? Well, okay. There's a lot of controversy over this. But I think there's also just a lot of confusion. And so we don't have the tools with which to talk about it.
You know what I don't like? I'm just going to be transparent. I don't like this where you can't talk about this in a curious way without people leaving the room. Well, I don't get that. I mean, like, we grew up and you talk about anything and everything more, there's more. But today it seems like difficult to even be disagreed with without somebody canceling you on Facebook.
Right. But I think what's happened, and we'll talk about that in several of these sessions, is these things are the... If this is your only identity, if this is where all of your self-esteem rests, and now you poke at the one thing that I have, then I'm not very gracious. I'm not... Because you took the legs from under my feet, whereas maybe in the past, we're just talking about a topic that is just one of the many things that define who I am, and if you totally destroy this one topic, I still have my self-esteem intact.
Right.
Whereas now... Everything rests on this thing, and you're poking at it.
Right. So, and how insensitive are you to do that?
Yes. So here, critical gender theory is same thing with the race thing. Everything relates to gender now.
Okay.
Genders with the power use their power to keep their power over other genders. Inequality. Okay. Let's just talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
So you know the whole patriarchy. Articles of the society kind of thing where men have used their gender, they're the ones in charge. They were, you know, because most of culture, you know, if you go back far enough, was about strength and they were stronger. So they dominated and so they used their power and they set up laws and structures that helped them keep the power and the females would not get that power.
Right.
So now that is being extrapolated to almost every area of society, whether it's, well, we'll talk about where it shows up to current social manifestations. You have gender equality. You've got LGBT, which is lesbian, gay, bi, and trans. You've got the whole self-identify. You identify your own gender. We've got the bathrooms in sports, and, you know, what do you do with that? And, you know, the pronouns, he, she, and then they
or them,
and others.
So, yeah, this seems like a mess.
So it's, well, you know, and from people that are fighting for these things, their identity is these things, and they feel like the world doesn't, you know, if you didn't feel like the world understood you and accepts you as you are, then maybe you'd fight tooth and nail as well. So it seems like there's a lot at stake. And I think that's why people have a hard time talking about these things. You know, I might talk about it, but it's not the biggest issue in my life.
Right.
But I might be talking to somebody that it is.
Right.
And we're going to have a hard time. If I say any one, it's like in the book Madness of Crowds, he talks about tripwires. In a war, they put these tripwires, and if you trip over the wire, the grenade goes off.
Right.
But you don't know where the tripwire is.
Right.
So it seems like right now in our culture, we have all these tripwires out there. And if you accidentally, unintentionally trip over one, you could lose your job, you could lose your social connection, you could lose a friend, family members, a marriage, a son or a daughter. It's tough out there.
And it's a struggle, and every family maybe understands it. I have a son who transitioned as a woman, my oldest, and I love her, and their family, but it was very difficult, and to see how the culture went through this, and to see my own family culture, and to see choices, and to see the way social sciences and counseling has gone. You know, through the years 2012 and 13, 14, our family struggled. We learned a lot. And we learn that these topics are relevant, and we hold to the biblical worldview of gender to this day. But even within our family, this is a controversial issue.
Right. And it's, you know, I suppose what's hardest is it's difficult to just talk about it.
Right.
I mean,
like, to bring it up. You have to bring this up. Are you going to go there, Henry? Are you going there?
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, God must fix those things that are broken. And ultimately, we rejoice in what God is doing.
Right.
But all these issues are into play. This is not just for some people
right,
up there, Steve.
Right, right. No. Yeah, we are all connected to this problem.
I mean, you know my family and have been around, and we know, all of us know families.
Well, and within churches, every church is dealing with this. Every school system is dealing with this. It's a big subject.
And this was the big subject.
So what is gender? Is it biology? Is it a social construct? And that, you know, that's what's being argued in our culture right now.
Yeah, you know, let's talk. You know, so the biology side is that your gender is assigned at birth.
Yeah, it's your DNA. It's the
right.
It's so many chromosomes, and that
right.
is this or it's that.
And then the social construct is that society through history and things like church and family and patriarchy and, you know, advantages and disadvantages,
yeah.
that your gender was constructed.
Right.
Now, I find that very interesting, because studies from even Stanford University that I read clearly identify that there is the differences in gender.
Right. So there is a biology thing, but then people say, well, then the construction part maybe overrides it.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a lot of discussion, and we're not going to, you know, don't have time to go into all of that. The Bible, Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
So that is the biblical worldview.
Right.
The biblically constructed
right.
understanding of gender.
Right. Now, that doesn't mean people don't feel one way or another, or that there are people, I know some, who are born with like two different genitalia, and
right.
even the doctors are not sure which, male or female.
Right.
And so there is these gray
areas.
Problem areas yeah. that we are not sure what to do. So
and
we're not
our sexual ethics class, a 3-credit class, where a Kuiper College professor talks about a lot of these issues.
Right.
You know, in terms of like, what is that? How does that
right.
fit? And the second thing to mention to me is that we really live in a post-fallen world.
Yes.
That the worldview of male and female is the worldview that God created us all
yes.
to be.
Yes.
But now we still, even on these subjects, we struggle and we reach
yes.
for God, and we,
right.
you know, and it is difficult.
It becomes more complicated within
yeah.
in the world, right.
Yes, it does.
So we have a problem of conflicting rights. So one person's right to identify one's own gender as one pleases, so that's kind of what our culture is saying,
yeah.
versus another's right to not believe in it.
Oh, that's interesting. Before we
yeah.
move on to that, what are you talking about there?
Well, you know, people can identify as something.
Right.
But then how does that, you know, so I get to identify, I get to do what I want. It's my body, it's my life, I will do what I want. And that's true unless it hurts someone else.
Okay.
See, and that's where there's a conflict or a dilemma is, people are out there saying, I want this, this is who I am, this is what it is, but they don't always see how you getting what you want stops someone else from getting what they want.
See, so what happens then is a theory is absolutized or really reduced, and then everything is seen
yeah.
from that right. version of reality.
Right. And everyone has to accept that. When that isn't the case, right?
Okay.
So the LGBT version of reality, for example, versus the parents' right to teach their own children a different version of reality.
Hmm.
That becomes a conflict, because now, you know, in schools are starting to mandate certain things about all this, acceptance and all these things, but doesn't a parent have the right to have a different view of life?
Right.
Just as much as you have a right to your own version, someone else has a right to their own version, and therefore we're going to have this conflict.
So there's a breakdown of the agreement of some essential things. Male and female,
right.
Even agreeing that there is even male and female,
yes,
is not agreed upon.
No. So then there's the problem of relativism and the loss of objective agreed upon truth.
Right, right.
You know, we live in a world where everyone makes their own decision about what is what. And although, again, what I'm saying is, you know, the one group has can decide what they want, but then if you disagree, you're not allowed to do that.
So we're in dangerous waters.
We're in dangerous waters, yeah.
So when one person's right to identify as whatever gender negatively affects others, what? Can that happen?
Yeah. What? When does one person's right to identify as... So we'll give some examples. So hit the... So, example, in the whole sports world.
Yeah, this is a hot topic right now. I read a story yesterday out of, like, Connecticut or somewhere out east that, there's going to be lawsuits.
Right.
And,
because one person identifies, I was born a man and now I identify as a woman, and now I go into women's sports. Fine, and that's great for me because I finally feel like I'm part of what I'm supposed to
identify
be.
With.
Yeah. But then the women who now have to compete with a person who was a man, and they're like, hold it. You know, you have an advantage that I don't have, and now, you know, what about my rights to compete
right.
in the world that I live in and
right.
have known?
So social sciences have cisgender, transgender. Cisgender is the gender you were born with and that you identify with.
Right.
And transgender is not the gender you were born with, that you do not identify with.
Right. Right.
So now we have two
right.
worldviews, two worldview-driven views of gender fighting themselves out,
right.
but the real fight is flesh and blood people
right.
who are having their dreams taken away from each other.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah, it's
so both are saying, my dream is being taken away
if I don't
get my way.
Yeah.
Right? So another example, what if someone identifies themselves as...
Okay, so you're talking about this could be anything.
Yeah, it could be anything.
So I could identify myself as a 7-year-old girl and went to your first grade or granddaughter's
right.
you know, first grade
yeah.
class.
And how would I feel about that? Because you look like a 60-year-old man to me.
I just turned 60. No, but
right?
I mean, but then somebody say, "Well, you can't say that." Well, then why can't you?
Yeah, where's the line? Where's the thing that I can't identify with?
Very interesting.
So why are we obsessed with things like race and gender? Why are we getting, you know, why has this become such a place in the weeds where we find ourselves?
So Genesis 32 verse 1, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us.
Right. So what happened there? God and Moses disappeared.
Yep.
Just for a moment. I mean, they just went up
the hill.
You know? They went up the hill, and what happened?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's no God. So what do we got to do?
Fear sets in. We got to find something.
We got to find something that is the replacement for God. And isn't that exactly what has happened? So, what's the answer to some of this?
Critical grace theory.
Grace theory.
So we're back to that theory again. We introduced it, but maybe we're going to go a little deeper. Let's see.
Oh. Everything relates to grace.
Okay.
Those with the grace share the grace with those who do not have the grace.
So one thing is notice that word deacon. Servant. To be great, you must be the servant. To receive the grace of God that saved you and me from sin, from death, then is to give it freely when it's in our power to do so.
Right.
I mean, that's radical. Steve, it's radical.
Right. The saved by grace identity. It's that same verse we read under race. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children
of God
through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, if you belong to Christ. then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
So, in some ways, it's not about gender at all, although gender becomes like that lightning rod point.
Yes.
It's about Jesus Christ.
Right. The Bible is not against gender.
Right.
Okay? And it's not about, you know, your identity and your self-esteem wrapped up with gender. You know, I was born a male and I was into sports and feeling good about myself because I was doing these things. The Bible isn't against all of that.
Right.
But what's happened is that Moses thing. Moses and God went up the mountain and now we've made a god of gender.
Right.
Like this is the only thing that says I am somebody.
Right.
And therefore,
don't discriminate against that something.
You know, and why we all are holding on to it so tightly, and if someone questions any nuance, I mean, just even a nuance of what we think or believe about it, all hell breaks loose because we don't have that identity in Christ. I mean, if I'm in Christ, and then you don't like my hair or something like that, I can roll with that a little bit because I am not my hair. I am not my gender. I am not my race. I am not these things. These are all part of me, but I am a child of God. I am one in Christ. That is my number one identity.
Right. You know, Jesus in the Gospels once talked about not getting caught up in, you know, whether someone was born a eunuch by choice or by birth.
Right.
But then he goes back to the worldview of male and female in this very passage. I think in ministry, when we are ministering, in the end, we put that minister hat on. That our goal is not to win some argument about these arguments about the day, but to point people back to Jesus Christ. And know that God has a plan.
Yes.
And we don't know, I mean, we're not old enough to see how the spirits come, they go, and then this becomes this, and then you know the Holy Spirit allows. We've had a pandemic; it's changed so many things, and it feels scary right now. But this, I remember you saying 25 years ago that there's desert times, and then there's times where we enter into the promised land, and maybe sometime you just happen to live in the desert era. And that's okay. Stay close to Jesus Christ.
So I think, you know, a little word to those trying to minister. Maybe you're talking to someone who has strong views about this whole gender issue, and you're trying to convince them of your view or the biblical view.
Mm-hmm.
That is one strategy.
Right.
Another strategy is to get them connected to Christ.
Yes.
See, if Christ became their number one identity, see, then they might loosen hold of some of these other things.
So discussions and...
Yeah, so if you're trying to get them to let go of their hold on their views of gender before they become Christians, see, then you're doing it the hard way. Mm-hmm. Why not get them connected to Christ where now I am one in Christ. And now these other things don't become so big and so important. Now maybe we can talk about them.
And if you have a child who has left how you raise them, and I understand that, maybe it's about just loving them, caring about them. And I know it won't
Being
be perfect,
Christ
but be Christ to them. And they could cut you off, but don't cut them off.
Right.
Have that door open. Because in the end of the day, it is Jesus Christ, and He is our salvation.
Yes.
He is our everything.